Then we are told that the king gave a banquet. On the surface, there's nothing unusual about that either. King's banquets were common among ancient nobility, especially within that culture. This banquet, however, was an extravaganza. Observe its size and duration. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his princes and attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media, the nobles, and the princes of his provinces being in his presence, and he displayed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor of his great majesty for many days, 180 days. Esther chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Can you believe that? A 180-day banquet. We're talking 6 full months of banqueting, which makes today's celebrity blowouts look like stingy potlucks. For 6 months, every kind of exhibition and panoply displayed the majesty and glory of King Ahasuerus. Parade showed off everything from the slaves the king had made of conquered peoples to the riches he had amassed. It had all the ingredients of a pagan celebration: loud music, wild dancing, too much eating, drinking to excess. And from start to finish, the praises of the king were lavishly displayed. Archaeologists excavating at Susa have unearthed inscriptions in which this king refers to himself as the great king, the king of kings, the king of the lands occupied by many races, the king of this great earth. Old Ahasuerus didn't struggle with an inferiority complex. As if all this weren't enough, hard on the heels of the king's extended self-glorification, another group was invited to a second banquet. And when these days were completed, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Susa, the capital, from the greatest to the least, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Esther chapter 1, verse 5. So this time, the Persian king opens the doors and lets everybody in, from the least to the greatest. They came by the thousands, probably by the tens of thousands, for 7 days. There were hangings of fine white and violet linen held by cords of fine purple linen on silver rings and marble columns, and couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. Esther chapter 1, verse 6. The glory of the setting must have been mind-boggling, and, as expected, there was plenty of booze. Drinks were served in golden vessels of various kinds, and the royal wine was plentiful according to the king's bounty. Esther chapter 1, verse 7. "Hold nothing back," ordered the king. "Bring out the best wine from my own cellars. Let them have all they want." And the drinking was done according to the law. There was no compulsion, for so the king had given orders to each official of his household that he should do according to the desires of each person. Esther chapter 1, verse 8. His guests could drink a lot or a little, and if they didn't want to drink at all, that was fine too. Each individual could do as he wished in the midst of the banqueting and revelry. This was an incredible display of majesty and power and riches. It was the celebration of a lifetime, a banquet to be remembered. Ah, but something important was missing from the scene: the queen herself. Jeannie Andrews, in her richly detailed and thoroughly researched historical novel, Esther, the Star and the Scepter, says that Vashti was giving her own separate banquet for the women in the palace, the wives, sisters, and mothers of the important men in Susa. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Esther chapter 1, verse 9. But then something happened, one of those unexpected but pivotal moments that change everything. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mahumam, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abigatha, Zethar, and Carcass, the 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and the princes, for she was beautiful. Esther chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Inevitably, all this revelry led to excess, debauchery, and drunkenness. By now the king was drunk, and while in this inebriated state, he decided to show off another of his prizes, the physical beauty of his queen. He ordered her to be brought into the banquet hall, wearing her royal headdress. He wanted his own private beauty pageant for all of his drunken guests to enjoy and envy. Scholars have wrestled with the meaning of the king's command. Some suggest it simply meant that Vashti was to come unveiled, which would have been scandal enough in a Persian court. Others suggest that she was to come wearing only her crown, which would have been another kind of scandal. But whatever it meant, the queen just said no.